Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now we continue our election year series called That's My Issue. We're gathering stories of how your own life experiences have shaped your politics. Today we want to hear from people under 30 about events in your own life that have helped shape your politics. Call us at 212-433-WNYC. We also have a new web and social media page for this at wnyc.org/issues, where you can write down or record your story and create a That's My Issue badge, which you can share on social media. Here on the air, we're inviting your calls today from anyone, as I said, under 30, right now at 212-433-WNYC. We began the series yesterday, for those of you who didn't hear it, and got some great calls and submissions to the site. Here's one example of somebody's personal experience and how it formed her politics.
I went to a summer camp that the church provided at Drew Seminary in Carmel, New York, and was taught about Jim Crow. Now, this is in 1945.
Wow.
And they showed pictures of segregated eating and other facilities, the restrooms and so forth, and black men hanging from trees. And when I saw that as a young kid in high school, I vowed then to make a change someday in some way to right that situation. And 15 years later, became a folk singer about civil rights, peace, love, and so forth.
Shirley in Pompton Plains calling in yesterday on a life experience of hers that helped shape her political views. Mike in Manhattan yesterday had a very different story.
I had my pension taken away from me about 14 years ago. I work in a public corporation, and when I was thrown into the fray, having to invest on my own without any real financial education, I've sort of done well on my own, but the fact being, I sort of resent the fact that I have to pay taxes for public employees and all their big pensions.
So those are some examples from yesterday. Post to our website, wnyc.org/issues, what personal experiences in your life have helped shape or change your political views. Our lines are full for the moment, so let's start going to some of our callers at 212-433-WNYC, as we'll take these stories from people under 30 for today, and we're going to do a different category each day from now until the Republican convention starts. Grace in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Grace.
Hi. I'm actually going to be 18 this year, so I'm very excited I'm going to get to vote. And what I wanted to talk about, and I have my mom's permission, is that when I was little, my mom was a single mom, and we were on Medicaid. So that was a really big deal, and it helped us to get through.
Therefore, you're very politically supportive of making Medicaid as available as possible to people who need it?
Yes, I am. And I heard about the Ryan plan is going to cut $810 billion for Medicaid. And I just can't take that because I have so many opportunities. I'm going to a really great school because of the opportunities I got when I was little and I was able to be healthy and strong. And I don't think it's fair for people into situations like mine who aren't going to get the opportunity.
Grace, thank you very much for starting us off, and congratulations on turning 18 and being able to cast your first vote, although I think we could figure out, nothing wrong with that, who she's going to vote for. Jared in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jared.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good. What's your issue? What's your experience?
So my experience dates back two election terms, 2004, when the RNC was coming to New York. And I was, I guess, somewhat affiliated with what you call the Time's Up organization and the critical mass rides that were happening throughout the city, which was more of a fun ride for me and my friends at the beginning. I could remember doing it through the holidays and going on Central Park rides. And
right. The critical mass, the bike riders group. I'm just letting everybody else know, if they don't recognize the term critical mass, that that's the bike riders action group.
Correct. It's a bike ride that, to my understanding, still is going on, maybe not as strongly as it used to, but it was the last Friday of every month we would meet up in Union Square, and we would take the streets and ride. And I guess there was some political affiliation behind it. I never really aligned myself with that part of it. It was more of a fun a fun event to do with my friends.
And then what happened to you?
In 2004, after doing these rides for a long time and getting high fives by police and support from the fire departments and things of that nature, helping us make sure we get through the streets safe, 2004 camp comes around, and the ride coincides with the RNC coming into town. And the number of riders that turned out for this ride was bigger than any ride. And I remember being pretty much boxed in on 2nd Avenue, right by the church. I forget the name of the church. Is on 2nd Avenue in St. Mark. And it was kind of like a tag, you're it. And police boxed us in, tagged us, wrapped us in plastic handcuffs, took our bikes, threw them on the back of a flatbed, and threw us into school buses without telling us what was going on, what we were doing wrong, and what the problem was and why we were being arrested. Mm-hmm. We were later thrown into cells, fence cells at the end of on the West Side Highway. I think it was around 16th Street in the old bus terminals.
And Jared, I'm going to have to move on to some other callers, but obviously this experience politicized you. It made you more skeptical of the police. Is that how it mostly affected your political views?
It made me skeptical of the police, and up until that point, I didn't even vote. And it was when that point happened, I changed my political alignments and said, I need to take a stand and I can't let this stuff happen.
Thanks for your story. I really appreciate it. Dan in Trenton, you're on WNYC. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Brian. It's an honor to be on your show.
Thank you so much.
Well, when I was in college, I was a very staunch independent, and I had a lot of political views or fiscal policies that I guess leaned conservative. And then upon graduating school, my business partner and I founded a company, and in doing so, as young entrepreneurs and struggling through that, it really has constantly been pushing us over the 3 years to be much more liberal. So much so that, you know, we look back and at these politics, and entrepreneurs are constantly stood up on a pedestal as being, you know, by both parties, as being, you know, catalysts for the economy. But, you know, and the tax issue of higher taxes, and that entrepreneurs are against that for people making an income greater than $200,000, is kind of a misconception, because I not for one second thought to myself, I want to start a business because, you know, I want to be loaded, and that having taxes applied to me is going to discourage me from starting a business. I know majority of entrepreneurs start a business because they're very passionate about something, you know, whether it be a hobby or a business. And I just felt like, you know, now we're constantly battered around, you know, by politics. And it seems like Obama, with the Small Jobs Act, helped me raise money for my company, keeping my investors from getting capital gains. You know, he's very much for the small business.
Wow, you had a pretty counterintuitive experience by most people's lights, and that would be that going into business actually made you more pro-Democrat and kind of more pro-government.
Definitely. And, you know, it was a weird experience raising money and going for our first round, because we had to be careful about, you know, saying that, because a lot of our investors were, you know, staunch Republicans. Some of them were very politically active as well, and you know, we had to kind of tiptoe around that subject. But also we kind of used, you know, the idea that if they invest in us, well, if they lose their money, they can write it off. But if they gain money, they don't have to pay taxes on the capital gains. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of them were looking at that as a great benefit, but didn't realize that was something that the Democrats had pushed through.
Thank you so much for your call, Dan. I appreciate it a lot. Danielle in Staten Island, you're on WNYC, or should I say on Staten Island?
On the rock.
You're always on an island. Hi, Danielle.
Hi. Just 2 points. One was that I think that this segment lines up really well with your internship segment from earlier, because I think that a lot of people's experiences of, you know, people with less economic advantage attempting to secure internships and jobs, that allow them to advance the way that their more well-off peers have advanced has a really politicizing effect on a lot of people. And certainly that's true for me. But the main reason I was calling, I think the main thing that made me as left as I am, and I consider myself rather left, far, far to the left of Obama and most of our politicians, for example, is that I looked around growing up and couldn't figure out exactly why my blue-collar father and my white-collar but intermittently employed because of the economy mother had seemed to make our life better than the lives of the people, my peers around me, who were in the same geographical location and fairly similar, you know, economic and working the same sorts of jobs, until I realized that it was because I was growing up in a union household, and nobody I knew was growing up in a union household.
In what kind of business? What kind of union or what kind of business?
It was a trade union. It was IBEW. My father worked for the phone company. And that allowed us to, we always had insurance, and it was always fairly reasonable, and there was overtime, and there was salary increases, and there were all of these things that I realize now, with the erosion of the union base over my lifetime in America, has put so many people that otherwise might be able to achieve a regular, what we think of as regular middle-class, blue-collar life, and it's made it so much more tenuous for everybody.
What age were you when you stopped taking your father's union membership for granted?
It was always a part of my life, so I didn't realize it was different. You know, like, he worked for the phone company, so the big strike in 89, I was 4, and I was out on the picket line. And I didn't realize until I was an older teen that experience was really not the norm for people.
Yeah.
You know, I've participated in pickets my whole life, and I worked for a couple of labor unions, and I didn't realize that it's only normal for these people involved in this society. But through my studies and my experience, I know that it used to be so much more important for so many more people.
You came to connect the two, and only 7% of private sector workers, as your father was, are in unions today. Danielle, thank you so much for your story. Let's go to Ziaz in Jackson Heights. You're on WNYC. Hello.
Hey, how's it going, Brian?
All right.
All right. My issue is actually regarding the deferred action, which was put into place yesterday.
Yes.
And it actually impacts me directly to my wife. My wife actually came in when she was very young, illegally. Her mother brought her and really didn't take care of her at all over, you know, in the country. And she suffered for many years because of that. She was unable to work, and it's directly impacting, you know, our family now, especially with the bad economy. And I'm not really a political person. I actually don't vote, don't care to, because I really don't think it makes a difference, my personal opinion. But the fact that Obama is more lenient towards that, if I had to, you know, pick a side, I would actually go, you know, with the Democrats, I guess.
Ziaz, thank you very much. Somebody directly affected by the DREAM Act, or deferred action, as it's technically known, that officially took effect yesterday. Thank you very much, Ziaz, and good luck to you and your family with that. Let's go next to Montvale and Jamie calling in. Hi, Jamie, you're on the air.
Hello. I'm just calling to say I'm a 23-year-old father of 2 children, and I work in the grocery industry as a department manager. So, I do all right financially, but my wife stays out of work with the kids. Most of my, you know, young life, I've had Republican leanings until I kind of went out into the adult world a little fast, and we struggle, you know, quite a lot. And just, you know, the little everyday things that I have to deal with, like, you know, gas. The taxes aren't a huge deal, but it's difficult. Like, especially where I live now, I see just such huge bridge between, I guess, the demographics between rich and poor, and it's just very disheartening to see the struggle that my family has to go through when others seem so well. often. I don't think that it's so much an issue of taxes, like, because I don't really pay taxes.
As opposed to what? And we just have 10 seconds left.
I guess to sum it up, it's just the everyday things that we face as a middle class family. It's made me more democratic.
Jamie, thank you very much. And thanks to all of you who called in today. I hope everybody who called and got on the air will actually go to the site and post your story and make your badge as well. As that concludes part two of our new election year series, That's My Issue, experiences from your own life that have helped to shape your political views. Remember, you can help us build our That's My Issue story archive on our website and share it with your friends at wnyc.org/issues. We already have some great stories there that you can read or listen to from others. And while you're there, write down your story or record it. We have an audio recording tool, and you can create your very own That's My Issue badge that'll become part of the story archive and that you can share on social media. Tell us your story and how it became your issue at wnyc.org/issues, and we'll continue doing this on the air every day, at least through next week. Talk to you tomorrow. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.